Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please take note that today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Beis, Omid Beis. The Gemara opens with a reference to that which was mentioned in passing in our previous shiur. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, let us glance at the side in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Dinoi Shel Chizkiah, Chizkiah's law, or his teaching, Maiser Sheni She'enoi Shove Pruta, if one has Maiser Sheni tithe, but it's a very small amount, so small that it's not worth even the smallest denomination of currency. It's not worth a pruta. We mentioned in our previous year that that amount, being so small, doesn't lend itself to a standard type of redemption where you transfer the kedusha of Maaser Sheni fruits onto money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy food and eat it within the walled city. Since the amount is so small, it cannot latch on to monies that have not had a previous amount of Maaser Sheni already redeemed onto them. So that we'll call it a fresh coin that has had no pidyon done, and attempt to redeem Maaser Sheni worth less than a Shaveh Pruta, that would not be effective. So what do you do? So you say as follows, Hu v'chumsho m'chulo al nois horishonis. You would say that the Maaser Sheni that I have that needs redemption, it and its fifth, one adds a fifth when redeeming one's own Maaser Sheni. So you would declare it and the value of its fifth are transferred or redeemed. The sanctity is transferred onto Mois Rishonos. Mois Rishonos means monies that were already used, have already had some Maaser Sheni redeemed onto them. So that if you had a coin worth, let's say worth $100, and I've already redeemed $90 worth of fruits onto that coin, the coin still has space, so to speak. It has another $10 of value available onto which I can redeem further Maaser Sheni. And in a case like that, I would take my pachos mishover pruta worth of Maaser Sheni, say it and its fifth are redeemed onto this coin. And how is it that the coin has space on it, so to speak? A person is not exact when he is redeeming. When a person comes to redeem his Maaser Sheni fruits onto the coin, it's the practice of people to redeem a value of fruits that's less than the value of the coin. And with that, then, you have extra space on the coin, extra value in that coin, onto which to podet to redeem additional Maaser Sheni. And since you're dealing with Maaser Sheni, Sheni Boishover Pruta, you would need to rely on that kind of coin, a coin onto which there had been previous redemptions. Now the Gemara, Gufa, Omar Chizkiah, Maaser Sheni, Shein Boishover Pruta, Omer, the owner, declares, Hu v'chum shomchu al mois orishonos. It, the value of the Meiser Sheni itself, and another fifth, are redeemed onto the coin that had previous redemptions done with it. Lefi, and here we explain how does that possibility arise, that there's space left on the coin that absorbed the previous redemptions. Lefi sheyefsher lo l'odom litzamtzei ma'osav. A person is not exact when redeeming. He redeems, as we said before, an amount of Meiser Sheni, a value of Meiser Sheni, less than the value of the coin, leaving room on the coin for further redemption. At this point, we have a new marking, the triangle, and you can see on the side of the Gemara in our margin, the Mivneh, the structural note, featuring a triangle, and we also refer to this as a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style Gemara, with the point facing upwards. Kushyos al ha d'chizkia, these questions will in effect be questions on Chizkia, who said, D'omar sheyesh pidyon l'meiser sheni shu pachos mishover pluta. According to Chizkia, there is a redemption solution for meiser sheni worth less than a shover pluta. And when we speak about a redemption solution, of course, that means that the little piece of fruit that was declared as Meiser Sheni, once you redeem it onto the money, you can eat the Meiser Sheni wherever you are. You need not bring it, that fruit, anymore to Yerushalayim. You'll be bringing the money that represents the fruit value. The inverted triangle will be responses to whatever was being asked. Now the Gemara. Meisvei, Hatruma Vabikurim Chayovin Aleim Misa V'Chaymesh. Truma is the Truma tithe dedicated to Kohanim. Bikurim, the first fruits of the seven different varieties of fruits that Israel was blessed with. If a non-Kohen eats them, and he does so deliberately, so he's chayav misa, he's chayav a shortening of life at the hands of heaven. The chaymesh, if he ate it b'shogeg, a non-kohen ate it b'shogeg. B'shogeg means inadvertently, so he pays the principal in chulin fruits. He takes fruits that are common. Mundane, meaning not truma or not holy fruits, and in addition to that, he adds a fifth and gives that to a kohen. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Gimel. The asurim lezorim, the truma and bikurim are forbidden to zorim, to non kohanim. Rashi at the top says asurim lezorim below yochal. There's a negative command. Ve'itzrich lemisnei mishndoy lemisnei mashenke b'maiser afilu isur leka. What Rashi is answering is a question you might ask: is it not redundant to include in the source that it's forbidden to zarim? You just got finished saying that a zar who eats it is chayav misa, and if he did so b'shog, he has to pay it plus a fifth. So obviously, it's usur to zarim. So Rashi answers that we're teaching asum zarim so to set up a contrast with meiser that's referred to later in the source, where it's mutter lazarim. We continue. Vehein nichse kohen, the truma and bikurim that a kohen receives, is considered his own personal property, and he can use that as an offer to a woman in exchange for her agreeing to marry him. He can mekadesh a woman with it. And we're going to see later, this is in contrast with Meiser Sheni, which shows that this source is in accordance with Rebbe Meir, who holds that Meiser Sheni is considered Mamon Gavoa, is considered holy, that you have a right to only by virtue of a privilege granted to you by on high, by the Almighty. It's not your own property. That's with regard to Meiser Sheni. We continue. Va'olin be'echad umeya. Another aspect of Trumi Bikurim is that if they get mixed in with chulin, there's a mixture, so they it becomes void in the mixture, provided you have 100 times the amount of chulin, so that you have a total of 101 units of fruit, where one of the units is truma or bikurim. Utunin rechitzus yadayim, and before eating the truma bikurim, the kohen has to wash his hands. We're familiar with rechitzus yadayim when eating bread. That practice, our practice of washing for bread, in a sense, traces back to the original or the authentic washing of hands, which was required for the eating of truma. The Harav Shemesh, a person, a Kohen who was Tomei, a Torah level Tuma, he immerses in a mikveh and then waits for sundown, and after that he's entitled to eat from the Truma and Bikurim. Harei Elu B'Truma Bikurim, these are rules that are specific to Truma Bikurim. Masha'ein Kein B'Maiser, as opposed to Maiser Sheni. My Masha'ein Kein B'Maiser, what is implied by that? We're saying as opposed to Maiser. Lav Michlal De Maiser Bota Baruba, is it not so that when it comes to Maiser Sheni, that gets mixed in with Chulin, the Maiser Sheni will be batel, provided you have a majority of chulin, of non-holy produce. And once that is the case, so you have a mixture, the majority is not Maiser Sheni, and you don't have to bring the mixture to Jerusalem, you don't have to worry about it anymore. The Maiser Sheni is batel, it becomes void in the mixture. That's what the Tanaic source would seem to apply, to imply, that there's bittel barov. Ve'im isa dechizkia, if Chizkia is correct, havele dover sheish lematirin. The Maiser Sheni that is found in a mixture is something that has an alternative way of I'd say an alternative solution. Before we proceed any further in the Gemara, it's of utmost importance to look at Rashi, just a couple lines down from here. V'oilin be'echad umea. The source described Truma as being botel in a mixture of 101 times. Tzrichin echad umeo levatel. You need to have 101 times the truma to void it, to render it non-existent. Ve'ein betelin berov. In a mere majority, the truma and bikurim would not be botel. If you have a mixture of truma and chulin, and the chulin is not 101 times the truma, you would have to give the whole mixture to a kohen, or sell the whole mixture minus the truma content to a kohen. You wouldn't be able to say it is it's botel. But when it comes to Maiser Sheni, as long as you have a majority of chulin, the Maiser Sheni is botel. V'lo boi echad umeya, we don't require 101 times. V'al korchach, and now we get to the heart of the matter. You have to say, the Maiser Shein lo takanta, we're dealing with a Maiser Sheni, a unique situation of Maiser Sheni that's in this mixture that has no other solution. Lo bifdia, not through redemption, v'lo la'losu shalayim komar, nor to simply bring the mixture to Jerusalem. That's not an option. The islei takanto, if the Maiser Sheni spoken of here in the mixture was that kind of Meiser Sheni that has a redemption solution or a bring to Yerushalayim solution, then Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin Lo Batil. There's a well-known rule, and that's what we just saw in the Gemara. Something that has an alternative solution, alternative to being Batel Barov, we would say it's not Batel. You have to follow the alternative solution. Vahacha, and therefore here, Kegoyin Shenitma, we're dealing with Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture that became defiled. The Leslei Takanta Bachila, the suggestion of bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there is not a suggestion. It has become defiled, so you don't eat it. V'ein bo shaveh pruta delav bar pediahu. Likewise, it doesn't have a pruta value, as it's worth less than a pruta, so that there's no redemption option. That's what the source seems to indicate, and hence we come on to Botel Barov. It becomes void in a mixture as long as you have a majority of chulin in which it is found. But we repeat now the key word. There is no alternative solution to the Meiser Sheni that you find in the mixture. Now the Gemara, five lines from the top. Ve'im isa dechizkiya, if Chizkiya's law is accurate, then have le dovar sheyesh lo matirin. What was Chizkiya's law? Meiser Sheni pochos mishaveh pruta. And that's what we saw in the Rashi. The Rashi was critical for appreciating the Gemara. Since we're dealing with Meiser Sheni that has no shaveh pruta, if Chizkiya was correct, then why do you describe this as a mixture that we can rely on Bittel Barov when there was an alternative solution? What's the alternative solution? Redeem it on Mois Harishonos. Making this, if Chizkiya is correct, a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And the Gemara proclaims, V'chol Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin afilu be'elef lo batil. Items that have alternative solutions other than they're being voided in a majority mixture, even if you have 1,000 times the problem element, there would be no bittel, there would be no voiding in a mixture. So with this in mind then, that Meiser Sheni, that's worth less than a shaveh pruta, that's Tomei, is Botel Barov, that would be then a Kasha on Chizkiya. The Gemara says, Umimai de Mashein came by Meiser de Botel Baruba. Who says that the phrase that we found at the end of the Tanaic source, third line from the top, Mashein came by Meiser, means that in the case of Truma, we said it's Botel in a Echorumea. As opposed to Meiser, we said, as opposed to Meiser, which is Botel, which is void in a standard majority fashion. Who says that's the pshat? Who says that's how to explain that phrase? Dilma, maybe, Mashein Kein B'Meiser means Lo Botel Klal. It has no bittel. It doesn't lend itself to being voided in a mixture. And why not? Because you have the Chizkiya solution. You would redeem your Meiser Sheni that's Pochus Mishavah Pruta on Moos Rishonos, making it a Dover Shilo Sheish Lamatirin. And that is the description of the Meiser Sheni, as opposed to the Truma, which doesn't have that solution. Hence, you do rely on the Bittel Be'echarumea. The Gemara raises a question with this approach. Lo motzis amris hochi. You can't say that Masha'en kein b'meiser represents a stringency of meiser over truma. De legabi truma, chumre de truma kotani, kule de truma lo kotani. This is found in the context of a list of items featuring truma as being more stringent, more severe. doulos, leniencies of truma are not featured over here. But according to what you're saying, you're actually saying that truma has a leniency over the Maaser Sheni. Namely, the truma has bittul as a solution, and the Maaser Sheni does not. The Gemara responds, v'ha katani v'hei nichsei kohen, but in fact, the source has leniencies, kulos, with regard to truma, one being that the truma is nichsei kohen. He can use the truma, the kohen can use the truma to marry a woman with it, which is not the case when it comes to Maaser Sheni. So the possibility of describing Maaser Sheni as having this restriction does seem tenable. Truma has a kula aspect. We said nichsekin. It may have another kula aspect that there's bittul baro bittul echad b'meya, and mashenkein b'maaser that has no bittul. The Gemara responds to that, raising again the question. Lo salka daitoch. You can't suggest the defense of Chizkiyah by saying Mashain came by Meiser, namely that Meiser Sheni has no bittul. The Sanya Behedya, we have the following explicit source that says Meiser Sheni Botel Baruba. Meiser Sheni found in a mixture becomes voided as long as you have a majority of chulin. Ubeiza Meiser Sheni Omru, and with regard to what Meiser Sheni do we say that it is Botel Barov, but Meiser She'ein Boy Shove Pruta. Let's focus on what we've dashed underlined. Meiser Sheni that lacks a Shove Pruta of value is Botel Barov. If Chizkiyah's din is correct, Levid Ba'lei Lidechizkiyah, then approach the Meiser Sheni Shein Bo Shava Pruta in the mixture with Chizkiyah's method, V'nechalei Al Meiser Rishonos, and have it redeemed on monies that you had used already for previous redemption. The fact that the source says there it's Batel Barov, it would appear then that the redemption method of Chizkiyah is not true. The Gemara responds in defense of Chizkiyah, the lo porik. The source is dealing with a person that had not redeemed previous Meiser Sheni on any coins, so he doesn't have Mo'os HaRishonos. Just a word about structure. First, we have a Roman numeral number 1. And a little star indicating to look in the inside margin, and we indicate Bosis Lemispur Shelanu, the basis of this numbering, the Roman numeral 1, and then we'll see later a Roman numeral number 2. So the basis for this Timsa Berashi Dafnun Gimel Amid Beis Ramasal Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda Omar. When you get to Nun Gimel Amid Beis, you'll notice about a third of the way down from the top, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda appears opposite the Roman numeral number 2, and at that point Rashi, which you'll find in the middle of the narrow lines of Rashi commentary on Nun Gimel Amid Beis, Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Omar Ha Da Oisvis L'Chizkiyah Me Reisha, that which we raised a challenge to Chizkiyah from the Reisha, the early part of the Tanaic source, where the kashya loch levit kechizkiyah, that issue that we're dealing with right now, the source is teaching about Meiser Sheni Shein Bo Shava Pruta, and we say it's Botel Barov, and that presents a kasha on Chizkiyah, who said there's an alternative solution, and when we mentioned already extensively that when you have alternative solutions, you do not rely on bittul. So on Omid Beis by Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, lo kashi gives you a second approach. But right now we have our Roman numeral number 1, How do we defend Chizkiyot? By saying, this guy featured in the source that has Meiser Sheni, Shein Doi Shavu Pruta, that's Botel Barov, he doesn't have Moos Rishonus, and that's what the low Porik. The double underline marking that is one of our series markings is explained under the Mivneh heading in the margin. And let's take a look at our note. Me'achar shagmora hamida hamokur shikotani diyesh bitol. After the Gemara set up the source that spoke about the Meiser Sheni as having bittel, its voidance in a majority mixture, b'she'ein lo mois rishonis, we said that that source is talking about a person that doesn't have mois rishonis. He doesn't have the Chizkiya method available. Bo kan sidro shel hatzois la'foich es oisei pochos mishavar bruto. The suggestions that follow with the double underline will be to convert the pochus shavar pruta that's found in the mixture to be a dovar sheyesh lamatirin. It has a redemption possibility through what the Gemara will introduce. Umemela, and the result of that will be lo nuchalomar de botel barov. If there's a redemption solution, then we're raising the question, how can you say Botel Barov when, as we've already said numerous times today, Dover Sheish Lamatir is something that has an alternative solution, Afilu Be'elef Lo Botel, even in a mixture of 1,000 times the quantity of that which is prohibited, there would be no Bittel. So now, we turn back to the Gemara. You just said that the subject of the source of the Meiser Sheni Bote Boroiv is a person that doesn't have Moes Rishonos, and that's why you're going to rely on Bittel Barov. Why so? V'nesi Meiser de Islay u Nitzar Finu. He should bring other Meiser Sheni that he has and combine them and with that, you now have Meiser Sheni that's worth a Shavu Pruta, and that is, we'll say, that's a significant amount, significant enough amount of Meiser Sheni to do a standard Pidyon. You don't need Moos Rishonos at that point. The Gemara says, no, that's not a solution. That's not a Pidyon solution. Doraisu Dorabona lo mitstarfi. Doraisa means Meiser Sheni that's of a Torah nature. Namely, the new Meiser Sheni tithe that I would be bringing along now to join up with the Pochus Mishova Pruta that's in the mixture. The stuff that I would be bringing now is Meiser Sheni Doraisa. It would require Pidyon on a Torah level. The pochos mishavu pruta that's in the mixture, on a Torah level, it's batel, it's non-existent. Rabbinically, we say it's there, and hence it has its identity as Meiser Sheni when in a mixture we have rov chulin against it. Its identity as Meiser Sheni is only rabbinic, and you can't join together Meiser Sheni that's Doraisa with Meiser Sheni that's classified as rabbinic. Question. V'nesi demai. If the issue was one of joining different levels together, you can't do, why not bring some demai? That's Meiser Sheni that you separated from produce that you bought from an Am Haaretz, from an ignoramus. The Torah, from a Torah perspective, we say it the produce you bought from that Am Haaretz most likely was tithe. But midorabonan, and that's the key word over here, midorabonan, it still needs to be tithe. So you have Meiser Sheni from Demai, that's rabbinic, and you have some of that worth less than a Shavu Pruta. Combine it with the Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture, less than a Shavu Pruta. Now I have a pruta's worth of Meiser Sheni de Rabbana that needs redemption. I don't need I therefore don't understand, says the Gemara, why are you saying that the Meiser Sheni Shein Rav Shavruta is Batel Barov? You have an alternative redemption solution like we just suggested. The Gemara says, we're not going to rely on your doing that. Dilma Asi L'Siei Vade. We're afraid if that's the solution, you might end up bringing Meiser Sheni from Vadai, from produce that had definitely not been tithed. And now the Meiser Sheni that you are holding, if you make that mistake and bring it from Vadai produce, you're back to square one where you have Vadai does not combine with the rabbinic level Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture. Question. Venesi shtei prutos, why not bring two pruta coins? Unechala lalaihu Meiser bepruta umechza. And redeem onto the two pruta coins Meiser Sheni that you have that's worth 1.5 prutos. What are we in effect creating? We're creating Meiser Rishonos so that I have two prutos with a half pruta space left onto which I can be put the Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture. Unechalel, hi, alhech yiseran, redeem, hi, is the half pruta worth of Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture, on alhech yiseran, this extra space, extra amount of money that was not yet used for redemption. I brought two pruta coins and redeemed upon them 1.5 prutas worth of Meiser Sheni, so I have space left. So why does the source indicate that you can rely on Bittel Barov? Redeem it in this fashion. The Gemara responds, Mi Savris Pruta Umechza Tofsa Shte Prutas. Who says that in a redemption fashion, like we suggested, bring 1.5 Prutas worth of Meiser Sheni, that the 1.5 latches onto the two Prutas? Lo, it doesn't work like that. Rather, pruta tofsa pruta. One pruta of the 1.5 prutas of Meiser Sheni, one pruta value of fruits, latches on to one of the two pruta coins. The chatzi pruta lo tofsa. The other half pruta that you brought along is a half pruta. It doesn't latch on to the pruta coin. That was the whole principle that we said before, that a half pruta is too weak to latch onto a coin that has not had any redemptions done to it. Hoder havyolei, and now I've got once again that half pruta that I brought along as part of the 1.5 prutas of Meiser Sheni. That's doraisa. That was 1.5. That half. That's a half pruta of Meiser Sheni doraisa, of Torah level Meiser Sheni, Udarabonon, and the half pruta of Meiser Sheni that's in the mixture, Udaraisa Durabonon, lo mitstarfi. And as we said before, they do not join together. They don't join together to form a unit of a pruta worth of Meiser Sheni. So since they don't join together, and I don't have any formal Moos Rishonos, and as you can see, I can't create Moos Rishonos. We rely on Bittel Barov. Ah, Venaisi Isar. Why not bring an Isar coin? An Isar, as we said, it's a denomination of currency, and be poda onto it fruits, leaving fruits worth less than an Isar. And with that, I create Moos Rishonos, and I'll be able to then pode the chatzi, the poksim shoverpruta that's in the taroivis. So since this solution appears available, how is it that in the Tanaic source above, in the middle of the page, that we saw that the poksim shoverpruta is botel barov? You have a redemption solution, as we just suggested. The Gemara responds, Dilma osi l'suei prutas. We're afraid that if we rely on your creating Moshe Rishonos by bringing in Esar. The next guy is going to try to create Moshe Rishonos by bringing two Brutos. And the Meiser to the tune of 1.5 Brutos. And as we said before, that won't be effective, because the pruta of Meiser Sheni will latch onto the one pruta coin, and the other half pruta of Meiser Sheni is too little to latch onto the second pruta coin. Therefore, the better approach is when you have Meiser Sheni pochus mishove pruta, and as the Gemara said, you don't have Moos Rishonus available, we rely on Bittel Barov. We now quote from the source that we saw earlier. In the middle of the page, we also have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. V'shenichnas Yerushalayim v'yotza. Meiser Sheni fruits that entered Jerusalem and then left Jerusalem, those fruits are problematic. And the source tells us that if they got mixed in with common fruits, they will be botel barov. On the side, we have a topic heading: Loma Katani de Meiser Sheni Shenichnas Yerushalayim V'yotza. Why was it taught above that if you have Meiser Sheni that entered Jerusalem and left it, Shenimtza B'Taroivis Botel, and it's now part of a mixture of common fruits, that it in fact is botel. Velo amrinon shudover shesha matirin, and we do not describe the Meiser Sheni shenitz shalayim viyotza as having an alternative solution. The house shape that you see represents Kushio's questions, and the bow tie will highlight the terms b'shenitma and Betohar. Now the Gemara continues. Ve'amai, why does the Meiser Sheni that's in a Taroves, the Meiser Sheni was Nichlus Shishlaim V'yotza, why is it Botel Barov? Ve'lahader v'na'ile, why not bring it back into Yerushalayim? Bring it, the Meiser Sheni, with the mixture in which it's found, and eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara answers, b'shenitma, it became defiled. So the suggestion to simply bring it back into the walls of Jerusalem, eat it there, is not a solution. Question, v'nifrike, redeem it. Why do you say that it's botel barov? It can be redeemed, Yomar Belozer. Minayin l'maiser sheni shenitma shepoiden oisoi. From where do you know, maiser sheni that became defiled, it can be redeemed. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Afilu b'Yerushalayim, redemption of it, even in Jerusalem, which, by the way, had the Meiser Sheni ben Tor, you cannot redeem it in Yerushalayim. But since it's Tomei, and you cannot eat it, it can be redeemed even in Yerushalayim, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Kilo Suchal, say so. Redemption, it becomes an option when this pasuk is fulfilled. Kilo suchal say so. What does say so mean here? He ain't say selachilo. The word say means eating. So the pasuk says kilo suchal, because you cannot eat it, it's defiled. You can then redeem it. Shneamar, where do we see seis having to do with food? The pasuk says vayisa masos. Me'es panov, and in the context of that pasuk in Brachos Perek Mem Gimel, the word masos has to do with parcels of food. So our question then is, why is the Meiser Sheni shenichnas Yerushalayim v'yotza and found in a mixture botel barov, it can be redeemed? The Gemara responds, Ela belakayach bekesef Meiser Sheni. We're not talking about the actual original miser, shamey produce that was brought into Yerushalayim and left, but rather you have someone that had redeemed his original miser, shamey onto coins, and he used the coins to buy food in Yerushalayim. That's called lokuach bekesef miser shamey. And that kind of food, food that you bought with your miser shamey monies, is not strong enough in its miser shamey status to latch on to a coin in attempting to redeem it. In other words, it doesn't lend itself to redemption. The Gemara asks, Lokayach bekesef miser nami lifrike. So what? It was bought with miser shamey monies, and hence it would gain miser shamey status. Why do you say it cannot be redeemed? Let it be redeemed. Lifrike disnan. We have a source that says halakoch bekesef miser shamey shenitma yifdeh. That which you bought with your miser shamey money, and it became defiled, it can be redeemed. So why would there be bittul barov? The Gemara answers, Kerebi Yehuda, the Omar Yikover. We are learning in the source that indicated bittul barov, learns like Reb Yehuda that says that miser shamey shenitma doesn't have a pidyon solution. Rather, if it's in isolation, it is to be buried. If it's in a mixture, since there's no redemption solution, and the mixture is majority chulin, mundane produce, the miser shamey will be neutralized. Question, E. Reb Yehuda, Ma'ir Yotza. If the source that we saw in the middle of Omid Aleph is authored by Rebbe Yehuda, why does the source mention that it entered Yerushalayim v'yotza and left it as well? Afilu lo yotza nami, even without its leaving Yerushalayim, the law would apply. That same law being that it would be buried even without the subsequent departure from Jerusalem. So the explanations that we have been giving, or the explanation that we've given, that the source that describes the Maiser Sheni Shneifas Yerushalayim V'yotza as being Lokuach Bekesef Maiser Sheni, and the reason there's Bittul Barov because it's according to Reb Yehuda, falls away. It falls on this last point, that if it were Reb Yehuda, why do you have to have the additional shortfall of Yotza? Elo li'olam b'tohar. The source is describing Maiser Sheni that did not become defiled. Umay Yotza. If you'll say it hasn't become defiled, so why rely on Bittul Barov? Just bring it into Yerushalayim and eat it there. So the Gemara explains, you know what Yotza means? When it said, V'shenich l'shayim v'yotza, d'nofel mechitzas. The walls of Jerusalem fell down. The Gemara asks, V'omar rova, mechitza l'achol d'raisa. Mechitza is likloit derabonon. The need for walls in order to eat Maiser Sheni in Jerusalem, the presence of the walls is necessary on a Torah level. The concept of likloit, meaning Maiser Sheni that was brought into Yerushalayim, once it leaves Jerusalem, if it were to leave Jerusalem, and it can no longer be redeemed. That's called mechitzos liklot, that the walls literally gathered it in, or caught within it to the extent that it can no longer be redeemed, even if it leaves. That idea is derabonan, is rabbinic. V'chigazru rabbonan, the rabbis who said that it can no longer be redeemed, when did they impose their gezera? Ki isnu l'mechitzis, when the actual walls are still extant. Ki lesnu l'mechitzis, if the walls are not there anymore. Lo gozu rabbanan, the rabbis did not impose their redemption restriction. So the question comes back, and that is, if you're talking about Meiser Sheni Tohor, Shenichnas Yushalayim V'yotza, granted there are no mechitzos for eating purposes, but why not redeem it? The restriction the rabbis mention applies only at a time when the mechitzos are still standing, but if the mechitzos are not standing, that redemption restriction would not apply. And if that's the case, that redemption exists as a possibility, why then do we say Botel Barov? The Gemara responds, Lo plug rabbonan bein isu mechitzis bein lesu mechitzis. The rabbis, when they made their ruling concerning Meiser Sheni that entered Yerushalayim and left as not being subject to redemption anymore, they made their ruling whether the mechitzas are around or even if they are gone. So since their redemption restriction applies, what are you to do then with the Meiser Sheni that's in the Taroves? So as the source taught, it's Botel Barov. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Omar, Rav Sheshes. We mentioned this in Rashi before, but let's learn it again anyway. Rav Huna, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Ha de oisvis lechizkia meresha. That which we originally asked on Chizkia from the beginning of the source, the Katoni Beiza Maisa Amru. In the source it said, which, with regard to which Meiser do we say that it's Bate Barov? She'ein boi Shavah Pruta. It lacks a Shavah Pruta value. And then the Gemara says, well, you see that there is no solution other than relying on the neutralizing in the mixture. The Kashia Lochen, that presented a problem. Leved L'Kid Chizkia. Why not practice the Chizkia approach with regard to the Meiser Sheni Pachos Mishavah Bruta? So now, picking up from that point, we continue in the Gemara, where Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omar Rav Sheshes, he quotes Rav Sheshes, in effect telling us that there is no Kasha. And how does he resolve it? Chada Kotoni. The source is not featuring two separate issues as we marked them originally, Aleph and Beis, but rather it is one example. Meiser Sheni She'ein Boi Shoveh Pruta She'nichnas Yerushalayim V'yotza. Meiser Sheni that doesn't have a Shoveh Pruta's worth of value to it, that entered Yerushalayim, the mechitzas in effect were collate, they caught within them the Meiser Sheni, thereby restricting any further redemption, even on Mo'os Horishonos. So the Chizkiyah method simply would not apply in this case. Why? Because this Meiser Sheni Sheni Boi Shavah Pruta entered Yerushalayim and left. That's not what Chizkiyah had ever had in mind when he suggested the Meiser Sheni Sheni Boi Shavah Pruta can be redeemed. We continue with a series of triangles in alternating directions. So we have a back and forth style Gemara. And the Gemara asks, Amai, why do you say in the original source that there is Bitol Barov? V'nehadir v'nayle v'nichle. Why not bring in the Meiser Sheni that lacks a Shavah Pruta, that currently left Yerushalayim, bring it back in and eat it there. Bring it back in its mixed state. Why do you say that the Meiser Sheni is simply neutralized Bring it back into Yerushalayim. That's a solution. Gemara says, "Denofel mechitzas." The mechitzas fell down, and since the mechitzas fell down, you don't have that possibility of bringing it back in to Yerushalayim and eating it there. Question: V'nifrake, why not have it redeemed? Why not redeem the Meiser Sheni that lacks a Shavah Brutah that entered Yerushalayim and left? Why not redeem it? Why do you rely on the Bittul Berov that was mentioned in the source? The Gemara continues with this question. V'nifrake, ha'oma rova, mechitza lechol deraisa, mechitza likloit derabonan. The concept of mechitza enabling you to eat the Meiser Sheni is a deraisa concept, namely that you need to have mechitzas. You need to have the walls up in order to be able to eat the Meiser Sheni. Mechitza liklot is the concept of the walls gathering in to its midst, into their midst, the Meiser Sheni, thereby preventing any further redemption. That concept of mechitza liklot the Rabbanan is rabbinic. The Chigazu Rabbanan, when did the rabbis impose their gezerah, their restriction of redemption? Ki islu mechitzis, when the mechitzis are around. Ki lesu mechitzis lo gozru Rabbanan. When the mechitzis are not around anymore, the rabbis, we would assume, did not impose their restriction. Their restriction, namely, of no more redemption. Therefore, if the mechitzas are not around, redeem it. Why do you say in the source that the Meiser Sheni Shenichsu Shalayim V'yotzes Botel Berov? Redeem it. The Gemara says, Lo Plug Rabbonan. The Rabbonan, when they made their gzerah of mechitza liklot, thereby preventing Meiser Sheni that enters Yerushalayim to be redeemed, they mentioned that restriction in an unqualified, in a low plug fashion. And when we say low plug, that means under all circumstances, whether the mechitzas are there or even if they're gone, the restriction of redeeming will nevertheless apply. The Gemara asks, "E hachi my irya ein bo yishava pruta." If those are the circumstances of the source, that the mechitzas were there and now are no longer, why speak about Meiser Sheni that doesn't have a Shavah Brutah of value? Afilu yesh bo nami, even if the Meiser Sheni had a Shavah Brutah worth of value. The Gemara says and answers, Lo mibaya komar. The Tanaic source is in the Lo mibaya fashion. What does that mean? Lo mibaya, I need not tell you, yesh bo, that if the Meiser Sheni has a Shavah Brutah value, the kulton le mechitzas, and once it's brought to Yerushalayim, it's definitely caught within the midst of the walls, restricting any pidyon. Avol ein bo, but if the walls are no longer there, Eimo lo kol tule mechitzos, I would have thought that by bringing it into Jerusalem, the walls would not have had that effect of kol tule, creating the pidyon restriction. Komash malon, that's the point of the source, that even though the mechitzos are not there, the pidyon restriction nevertheless applies. And since there's no pidyon option, there's no redemption option, we say botel barov. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. Before we read the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Meiser Sheni Shein Bo Yishav Pruta Eino Nifdeis. The idea that Meiser Sheni that lacks a Shavah Brutah cannot be redeemed in a conventional sense. Machlokes Amoraim im Hakavona leMeiser Sheni Atzmo, is that a reference to the Meiser Sheni fruits themselves, lack the shofar pruta, or shein b'chum shel shofar pruta? Or does it mean that the fifth that you add lacks a shofar pruta value? So if you had, let us say, meiser sheni worth, for argument's sake, three prutas, a fifth of three is less than a shofar pruta. A fifth of three would be three-fifths of a pruta. Is that the intention of this halacha of Maiser Sheni Shein Bo Yishover Pruta? So that, according to the first possibility, if the Maiser Sheni itself lacks a Shover Pruta, so it doesn't lend itself to redemption. The second side of things is, though the Maiser Sheni that you have has a Shover Pruta worth of value, since the Chomesh is not a Shofar Pruta, it cannot be redeemed. The Gemara, Tonu Rabbonan, in Go'ol Yigal Ish Mi Maisro V'lo Ko Maisro. The Mem is a limitation letter, and it speaks about the redemption of Maiser Sheni. And we say, Mi Maisro, sometimes with regard to Maiser Sheni, but not all times. From the pasuk we exclude redeeming Maiser Sheni that lacks a Shofar Pruta. That does not lend itself to redemption. Itmar. And we mentioned earlier, in a previous shiur, that when the Maiser Sheni lacks a Shofar Pruta worth of value, it lacks sufficient significance or strength to latch on to a coin that you want to use for redemption purposes. So we now have a machlokes amoroyim. Itmar Rav Ami Omar Ein Boy Rav Asi Omar Ein Bechumsho. The source that speaks of the Maiser Sheni lacking a Shofar Pruta and hence not being redeemable, according to Rav Ami, it means the produce itself that you have is worth less than a Shofar Pruta. According to Rav Asi, the produce that you have has a Shofar Pruta, but when you calculate a fifth of it, the fifth lacks a Shofar Pruta. In order for redemption to be a possibility, you would have to have Maiser Sheni valued at four Prutos, so that when you add a fifth to that, and when we speak about adding a fifth, that would mean, in the example we just cited, you would take the four, it representing four parts, and add one, and that would be another one pruta of value. That would be the fifth. The Gemara continues with another parallel machlokes amoroyim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ein Boi, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish Omar Ein Bechumshoi. Meisvei. We raise a kasha, a difficulty. You'll notice we have a framed source, and on the side we indicate Tam lemezgeres mekuvkav, the mashma midivrei Rashi b'rishal dayo, the elu divrei Chizkia li'el dafnun beis omid beis, v'eino makor tanui. It would appear, as Rashi points out, that this is really a statement of Chizkia, who was not a Tana, and therefore we're not including it in a standard frame, which is our marking for Tanaic sources. Mikol mokim yesh mokim loymar dechizkio atzmo limei brisos ukin mafia b'mokim esachirim tona debechizkio. On the other hand, we know that Chizkio taught brisos, taught Tanaic literature, and this might come under that category. So the Gemara says we're going to look into the points we just raised in light of this information. Maiser Sheni Shein Bo Yishover Pruta Dayoy Sheyoymar. It's enough that you say Hu V'chumsho M'chul Al Moiser Rishonis Bishlamo Laman Di Omar Ein B'chumshoi Hainu Dekotoni Dayo. This source would make more sense according to the opinion that says that if the chomesh is lacking a shofar pruta of value, it cannot be redeemed in a straightforward fashion unless you have the mois horishonos, use that method. So if you take that approach, that Ein Lechumshoi, the term Dayo that appears in this source would make sense. Namely, Dayo means that here you have a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? What's the novel point? The Afagav, the Bedidei Isbei, even though with regard to the fruits themselves, you have a Shofar Pruta worth of value, of Meiser Sheni, Kevon de Bechumshei Lekos, since in the Chomesh there is lacking a Shove Pruta, then I understand, I appreciate the expression Dayo. Just to go over the point in the frame, with regard to the framed section, the dash frame section, it's saying Meiser Sheni Shein Boy Shove Pruta. It's Meiser Sheni where the actual fruits do have a Shove Pruta worth of value, but the fifth does not have. Then it's enough for you to declare Hu v'chum shemuchu ha-mois rishonos. Use the mois rishonos method that we started today's shiur with regard to Chizkiah's point. So the word dayo is appropriate in that context, where, just to repeat, maybe for the third time, even though the mois rishoni fruits themselves have a shofar pruta, there nevertheless is a, we'll say, a limitation in how you can go about the redemption. Elo lamandi omar ein boi, but according to the opinion that says, once the Meiser Sheni itself lacks a Shavar Pruta, it doesn't lend itself to standard redemption, and you would have to use the Mos Rishonos method. My Dayo, what's the role of that word? It's the source, or the teaching is just telling me something that is doesn't have in it a very novel point. Kashia, so this remains a slight difficulty for that opinion that said Ein Bo Shava Pruta. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivnei structural note where a diamond is featured. These are She'elois Be'inyin Chomesh. These are questions with regard to the topic of adding a fifth. The general law says that when you have Meiser Sheni and you want to redeem it, and it's your produce, you have to add a fifth of its value. Ibayalaho, here the Gemara asks, Chumsha milagav oi Chumsha milabar. Is the Chomesh calculated from within or from, literally, from the outside? We mentioned this before in our example of Meiser Sheni worth 4 prutos. A fifth would be 1 pruta if you calculate it in the way we suggested before. You take the 4 prutos and add one of those parts, 1/4. You take the produce you have, divide it into 4 parts, and each part is worth 1 pruta, and add 1. So now I have what we can call 5/4. One of those units is a pruta. If you say chumsha milagav, so if you had, let us say, 20 zuz worth of Meiser Sheni, you would take the number 20 and look at a fifth from within. Now take the number 20 and divide it into 5 parts. The chomesh in that case would come out to 4 zuz, $4, if you will. If, however, you say chemesh milabar, a fifth from the outside, then you would take whatever amount you have. Let's keep the same example. We had 20 zuz worth of produce. You take the 20, divide it into 4 parts. How much is each part then? 5 zuz worth. And then add that as the fifth. So you would have to add a fifth of the amount, and that would be, in that case, 5 zuz. So that you would have to set aside money. If you have 20 zuz worth of produce, you have to set aside that amount, the 20 zuz, plus a fifth. Is it a fifth that adds up to 4 more zuz, or 5 more zuz? Let's see. Omar Ravina, Toshma. We have a source. We also have we are using a long marking that takes you down the first couple of lines on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So we have one long point. Toshma, in order to resolve the issue of Chomesh Milav Gav or Chomesh Milav Bar, we have the following source. Now, this source describes an owner of an item that needs redemption, and the scene includes another person that's offering to redeem it. Habaylim Oimrim Be'esrim. The original owner says he's willing to set aside 20. The case Rashi adds here, we didn't mention it explicitly, but it's referring to someone that sanctified his item and now wants to redeem it. And the concept of redemption that involves adding a fifth applies also to that situation of redemption. So what we learn in that case will apply also to redemption of Meiser Sheni fruits. So we have an item that had been sanctified by an original owner, and he, the original owner, as well as an outsider, are interested in redeeming it because they want it for their own use. The owner offers to redeem it to the tune of 20. Say $20 he'll offer for redeeming the item that he sanctified. V'chol adam be'esrim, and if some other person was challenging the owner, offering also 20, who gets the chance to redeem it? Habaylim kaidmin. The original owner has precedence. Why? Mipnei shemoisifin chaimish. Because when an original owner redeems his item, he has to add a fifth. This is in contrast to an outsider who redeems a sanctified item. He just offers its value, doesn't add a fifth. The example we saw is the owner was willing to offer 20, and then he'll have to add a fifth to that. Rashi at the bottom says, "Mipnei shemoisifin chomesh, ve'esrim shelohem," the chomesh that they will have to add plus the original 20. We will see very shortly in the source, havu chafei, turns out to be 25. He'll have to pay Beis Hamikdash 25 units of currency, whether it's $25 or 25 zuz. Dilu shar kolodim lo yosu chomesh, as opposed to an outsider, he wouldn't add a fifth. So we want the Beis HaMikdash to benefit maximally. So if you have an owner offering 20 and you have an outsider offering 20 for its redemption, we will give precedence to the owner because he's going to be paying not only 20 but adding a fifth. Omar Echad Hare Olai Veserim Vechad. Someone competes with the original owner and says, I'm willing to redeem it for 21. So he ups the principal by one zuz, or $1. The original owner was saying, I'll offer 20. An outsider comes and says, I'll offer 21. Who gets the right to redeem it? We continue at the top of Daf Nun Dalet. Habaylim noisnim esrim v'sheish. The original owner will pay 26. Now, I think that we should have mentioned, we mentioned it in a very cursory fashion, but when the owner originally said, I'll pay 20, we say he'll pay 20 and add a fifth. And Rashi mentioned, the source didn't mention it explicitly, but Rashi did mention it, the owner is going to end up paying 25. That information already is of significance because we saw him adding 5 to his original offer of 20. What's the relationship of 5 to 20? Well, 5 is a quarter of 20, and that's called a fifth. Well, if it's a quarter of 20, why are you calling it a fifth? Because we describe the fifth, milabar. You look at it from the outside, from the new number. The new number, when you take 20 and add 5 to it, you get 25. 5 is in fact the fifth of 25. Now this competition scenario continues in the source. Original owner offered 20, outsider offers 21, and nevertheless the original owner will get it. Why? Because the original owner is going to end up having to pay 26. How do you get to 26? The original owner offered simply 20. So we'll explain. The basic 20, we understand. That's what the original owner offered to redeem it at. The outsider upped it by one. He said, I'll offer 21. That being the case, the original owner also has to add one. But in addition to that, the original owner is adding five, which was a fifth of the original principal that he had offered to redeem. So you have your basic keren, 20. You've got a fifth, namely five, that we're adding to that, creating 25. And we add one more zuz, or one more dollar, because the outsider had upped it to 21. So that going from 20 to 21, he upped it by one. The original owner has to meet that, has to match that, so to speak, as well, and he will redeem it for 26. Another level, we continue. Esther Mushnayim, the outsider offers to redeem the item at 22, while the original owner was offering to redeem it at merely 20. Habaylin Noisim Esther B'Sheva, the original owner has to pay the base, I mean, there's 27. Be'esrim v'sholosh, if the outsider offered 23, habay the noisim esrim v'shmoina, the original owner will pay 28. 20 was the original amount he offered to redeem it at. Five more constitutes the chaymish he has to add, plus three to match that which the outsider had upped his offer. Be'esrim v'arba habay le noisim esrim v'teisha, if the outsider offers to redeem the item at 24, original owner will pay 29. Esrim v'chomesh, if the outsider offers 25, habaylim noisim shloshim, the original owner will pay 30. He'll pay 30. How do you get to the 30? Well, the original amount that the owner offered was 20. We add the chomesh to the principal. We don't add chomesh to the matching amount that the owner will have to pay as a result of the outsider jacking up the price. So the 5, which is the chomesh, is a chomesh of 20. Plus, so that gets you to 25, plus the 5 that the outsider upped the original attempt on the part of the owner. So the owner has to match that as well. But in the course of our explanation, we said that the fifth that you add, the fifth corresponds to the original amount that the owner offered, and there is no adding of more as a result of the upping that we do because of the outsider's increasing his willingness to pay. And that's what we mean here. Lefi she'ein moisifin choymesh al ilui shelzeh. We don't add a fifth with regard to the sum that the outsider was upping in his offer. Shma mino, from this source and the description of the fifth being five. Chumsho milabar shma mino. The concept, or I should say, the calculation of the choymesh is milabar, from the outside. We took 20, and we found that by adding a choymesh, you got to 25. By adding 5 to 20, we are saying that that is how you add a fifth. And that can be explained only if you say that the fifth is calculated milabar, by looking at the new number that results as a result of adding the choymesh, and looking at that added amount being one-fifth of the new number. Tanoi. And here we see this is a machlokes tanoim. V'yosav hamishisoi olov. The pasuk describes adding a fifth. for redemption purposes. Shehu v'chumshay chamisha, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. The result of, let's say, of activating this pasuk, of adding a fifth, the result would be where the amount of the original, the basic amount, and the additional fifth equals five. So how do you have that, where the original amount plus its fifth will equal five? That's only because the original amount was four, and I added one. And I'm describing the one as a chomesh. Yes, it's a fifth of the new number. It's a fifth of five. That's Rabbi Yoshi's approach. Rabbi Yoshi's Noimer, chamishi soy, chumshoy shel keren, a fifth of the principal. So that the machlokas that we saw between Rabbi Rav Ami and Rav Asi of let me correct myself there. The question that was asked is Chomish Milagav Lebar, and Ravina answered the question. It turns out that that itself is a machlokas tanoim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.